Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for each and every person that's here in this place and each and every person that's watching us online, whether being live or on a delayed basis. Father God, we just thank you for their lives. We thank you for them. We thank you, Father, for giving them strength today. We thank you, Father, for helping them today. And Father God, we just thank you as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. Father, we thank you that we thank you for revival to this generation, revival for this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today as we go to speak. We thank you we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but we come in your strength and your power, your might and your ability. And we thank you that they won't see me speaking, but they'll see you speaking through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that gives us utterance and guide. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit helping us to minister the word with all boldness. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Today's Father's Day. And so I would like all the fathers here at Raymond Bible Church to stand up. Amen. The church want to give you a hand. Praise God. All these fine men and the backbone of the church. Amen. We do appreciate you and everything you guys do. And like Marvin said, I put on Facebook, about my father. And it's hard for me to talk about my father without crying, because I love him that much. And he's been a great example of how to be a father. I feel I'm a pretty good dad, but I learned it all from my own father. And, to see him sacrifice some, his time, his money, for myself and my all his grandkids. It's amazing. He'll fly halfway around the world, come home on a Friday night, and go to three different sporting events on a Saturday, and then preach on Sunday morning. He loves his boys, and he loves to be a part. He's always the biggest fan in the at the ball games, and everybody knows he's there. Sometimes people wish he wasn't there, especially the referees. But they can't see anyway, so they don't even know he's there or not. Well, at least that's what my dad says, because he's always trying to hand him his glasses. If any of you ever seen my dad at a sporting event, when he's upset about some calls, pretty interesting. Sometimes mom says that one reason she doesn't come a lot because she's embarrassed sometimes. And she has to sit across the room because she doesn't want to be embarrassed. But he's always there, always been a great support. He always helped coach me growing up and whatever sport I played. And in fact, I played a little bit of soccer. And so one year they said they didn't have a soccer coach. He knows nothing about soccer, still knows nothing about soccer. But he says, he told them, I'll coach, he came to the ministry and he tried to find somebody who knew something about soccer and found out Wyatt Brown, who's pastor in South Carolina, who was on staff at the time. He played on his high school championship soccer team that they won the state championship of his junior and senior year. He says, well, you're the assistant coach. He didn't ask him if he wanted to be the assistant coach. He appointed him the assistant coach. He says, you coach the team and I'll motivate the boys. And, the team that I got put on, they didn't win a game the year before. And now we didn't win all our games that year, but we finished above 500 record. So, he somehow taught us how to play soccer. Although he still doesn't know how to play soccer. In fact, if he was to watch a soccer match, he probably wouldn't know what was going on, you know, at all. But all he knows is you kick the ball, you know, try to put it in the goal that way, and you keep him from cornering your goal. So that was it. And so, he's always been a great coach and a great leader. And I do believe in my own life, I believe that if you're not a good father, I think it's impossible to be a good pastor. Because the pastor is a shepherd of the church. And I think that you have to be a good father in order to be able to be a good pastor. And I do want you to know that he does love and appreciate all of you. He thinks about you all the time. You're always on his heart. And, you know, I think, you know, my parents are incredible people. I mean, you know, they personally wish everybody on their friend list a happy birthday on Facebook. And I even tried to get him a program to actually just send him a happy birthday message. And he goes, no, we want to do it personally. I mean, that's pretty awesome because they have a lot of friends. A lot of friends in low places, too. But they have a lot of friends, and, you know, and I think it's wonderful. But my dad is the inspiration to everything. That everything I am is really because of my dad and because of our relationship with him. Today, I want to talk about fatherhood, but not just fatherhood, because, you know, any male can become a father, you know, through biology, and you learn how to do that in you know, a long time ago, hopefully, or you're learning. I mean, I'm not going to talk about the birds and the bees here, but any male can become a father, but not every father is a dad. I mean, you know, a father is because of biology, but a dad is something you have to work on. And so this morning, we're going to talk about three R's that you need, every father needs in their life to become a dad. The three R's. You know, they say that there are three R's, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Of course, arithmetic is not an R. I don't know how whoever decided that, because obviously they're not very good at writing or English. But here's the three R's that every father needs to become a dad. And the first R is responsibility. Responsibility. You understand that when you have a child, that you're responsible for that child. And it seems that if you read the Bible, that, you know, the man being the head of the house has been given ultimate responsibility over their home. Now, they don't always take responsibility over their home. But the fact of the matter is that you're responsible for that child. Now, let's be honest. We live in a day and age where the divorce rate is very high. And, you know, because of that, you know, a lot of times the father is not in the home. But just because you're not in the home, you know, where your kids are, doesn't take you away from the responsibility to raise your child. You should still be responsible. Or just because you happen to, you know, be not married to their mom, you know, the father should be responsible. One of the greatest things that happened in my own family's life, obviously, you know that I've been divorced and, you know, remarried, and we have a blended family. We have seven children in our family, six boys, one girl, So my oldest stepson, he was a handful. I just want to let you know. Now, when I came into his life, he was a junior, and actually he went to military school, so he wasn't around me that much. But man, he was a handful. But you know, one of the things I'm most proud of him is that whenever he had his first child, he has two. So my first grandson, and it wasn't planned, you know, it wasn't a planned thing, but all of a sudden he turned 180 degrees. He became more responsible, started becoming responsible, because he realized that he was responsible to raise this child. And, you know, I'm really proud of him for how you know, how he's become a father. Now he has a boy and a girl. He has two kids, and I'm very proud, you know, to see him take responsibility, because there's so many dads that do not take responsibility for their kids. I've done a lot of youth ministry, and it's sad to see that the amount of kids that are being raised without their father being around, or sometimes I don't know where their father is or who their father is. You know, and that's sad, because fathers aren't taking responsibility. But it's our responsibility. You know, we know when the Bible says this, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, we should train up a child in the way he should go. You know, we should point to him what we should do. He should do. And that's not always through what we say, because what we say is one thing, but what we do is another. I want to show you a clip, a video from a country artist by the name of Rodney Atkins, and a song called Watching You. So go ahead and roll that, guys, if you can.
We're going to town.
Hey, little bear. Where'd you learn that song?
You, Daddy.
Oh, you ready to go? Okay.
Through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Amen. We have to be mindful that our kids are always watching us and trying to imitate us. Now, my mom, she's like, well, they won't be able to relate to a four-letter word, but I'm willing to bet that many of them, many of you guys can relate. Some of you actually might even admit it. But the fact of the matter is, our traits, whether good or bad, our kids are watching us. You know, fathers and mothers. You know, and they're imitating who we are and what we are. You know, they always say that actions speak louder than words. And I think it's very true when it comes to fatherhood. You know, like I said, all I've learned has been from my dad, but a lot of things my dad didn't really have to say, he just showed me. You know, just by the way he lived his life. Clarence Budington Kellard says this: my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Now, you know, that's great as long as he's a good example. And, you know, we have to learn that whenever we have kids, we have to take responsibility to be an example for them. To, you know, like I said, part of training someone up is living a living example. And it's hard to have a living example if you're not in the home or if you're not around them. You know, just because you might not live with them doesn't mean that you can't spend all your time, you know, with them. You know, in my life, my kids are everything. You know, I strive to be with them as much as possible. You know, Hall of Fame running back Bo Jackson said this: I would say my greatest achievement in life right now, my greatest achievement period, is, and I am still trying to achieve it, is to be a wonderful father to my kids. You know, every father should want to be a real dad to their kids. Someone that they know. You know, someone that they can be with. And so the second R is relationship. We have to get to know our children. We have to spend time with our children. You know, Jesus said in John 14, you know, he tells us, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. You know, the Bible tells us to be imitators of Christ, but understand, if we're an imitator of Christ, because all of Christ's attributes are the same attributes of our Father God. And as we imitate Christ, we imitate God. And, you know, growing up in life, really, sometimes the choices I made and the things I did, I wasn't trying to please God. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in church all my life, but I wasn't trying to please God. I was just trying to please my parents, especially my father. Now, because, you know, the way, you know, in order to please my father, I also pleased God. But, you know, my mentality at that point in time wasn't to please my father, God, but to please my earthly father. And a lot of times it's because, you know, it's really hard for us to understand who our Father God is. And we'll never understand if we don't have a relationship with Him. You know, God desires a relationship with His children. And a lot of the issue sometimes when it comes to knowing God and some of our issues of not knowing who God really is because we know God as our father where we should know God as our dad. We should know God as our dad. You know, because our dad wants to spend time with us, but we have to spend time with him. Now notice, you know, in the little video, he says that the boy was just praying to God like he would talk to anybody. You know, and that's how we can pray to our Heavenly Father just like we would talk to anyone. But you know what? If we don't have an open relationship with our earthly father, sometimes it's hard to have one with our Heavenly Father. If we can't talk to our earthly father and spend time with him, because, you know, it's our responsibility as a father to raise our kids, but part of our responsibility is to have a relationship with them and to be with them and understand them. Now, it is good that the average American father now spends about 30 minutes, actually 35 minutes a day with their kids. Now, which is up from back like five times better than in the 70s. But just being with your kid doesn't mean you're spending time with your kid. That means you're actually in the same room. Because I read another stat that says that the average American father only spends about 1.5 minutes a day of undivided attention to their child. You know, because we might actually be there, but we're not always there. And in our world of modern technology, you know, that we're probably on our computer, watching TV, eating dinner, and talking to our kids. You know, now, it happens in our family, it happens in a lot of families. You look around at different families at a restaurant, and everyone's talking to their own phone. Now, I know some of you are taking selfies, you know, of you eating whatever you're eating, so you can put it, share with everyone on social media. Like I do. You know, it's just interesting how, you know, we've become a generation of technology, which is awesome, you know, and technology is so awesome that we can minister this morning around the world to people, you know, via the internet, but technology also has cut us off from the actual real world and spending time with people sometimes. And actually talking to somebody and finding out, you know, who they are and what they do and how was their day. And I understand that, you know, it's hard sometimes to talk to your sons because, you know, how was your day at school? Good. Fine. You learn anything? Yeah. Or no. You know, even sometimes whenever I have to be out of town because, you know, obviously I try to make every ball game possible, but when I'm, you know, have to be out of town, I'll call my kids and said, well, how'd you do? Good. Score any points? Yeah. I mean, they don't even tell me exactly, you know. You know, I guess I don't want to brag on myself. Oh, Dad, I did so awesome today, you know, or whatever. You know, but we have to know our children. You know, I want to challenge you as a father to get to know your child. Spend some time with your child. Get to know who they are. William Shakespeare said this. He says, it is a wise father that knows his own child. We need to learn who our children is and who they are and what they do. Well, that's terrible English. What's their goals in life? Because you know what? It's us. You know, we also need to be the encourager to our children. You know, we live in a day and age where it's just tough to live in this day and age, actually. I mean, you see these kids, they're being bullied, you know, at 10, 11, 12 years old, and they don't tell anyone about it, or I guess no one notices or whatever, and they end up committing suicide and things that are so terrible. Man, you need to know who your kids are. You need to know, you know, what they're doing, who their friends are. You know, one of the greatest things, you know, that my dad always did, like I said, he was always involved in my life, but when I see a friend, especially someone that was from elementary school or junior high that I grew up with, the first thing they ask me is, "How's your dad? How's your dad?" I mean, they ask me how my dad is before they ask me how I am. You know, because he not only got to know me, he got to know my friends. He was an encourager to them. And, one thing that we can do is be an encourager to our friends' kids. But, you know, because they're watching you too. Maybe they don't have a good relationship, a father relationship. Maybe they don't know who their father is. And so you, as a male, you know, they looked at you like, you're the only father they really know. Only example of a father. You know, and just because maybe your father wasn't the best example, maybe he wasn't even a Christian growing up, doesn't mean you can't make some changes. Because I've heard people, you know, they give an excuse, well, my dad was a, that's how my dad always was, so that's how I am. Well, just because your dad was an idiot doesn't make you an idiot too. just because we can learn from our parents what to do and what not to do. But I think one thing that my dad and my mom, they were both realistic. It's interesting, you know, listening to some of these kids, growing up in Christian homes, what they couldn't do, but I could do, you know, I didn't have those rules on me. I didn't have, you know, like a lot of them, people, they actually are kind of weirded out that my favorite cereal in the world is Frankenberry, followed by Booberry. All right, but... And my sister's favorite cereal is Lucky Charms. Now, most Christian kids I know, they couldn't have any of those cereals. And it wasn't because of the sugar. It was because of the characters were scary or mythological or didn't. My parents are like, you know, if you want the cereal that tastes good, you like it, we'll buy it. All right, you know, they're realistic. You know, they understood what it was like to live in the life that we live in today. We got to be realistic with our kids. You know, sometimes we try to be so hard on them and so, this is the way you're going to do it and blah, blah, blah. You know, my dad always says this, that rules without relationships brings rebellion. And, you know, and I think that's so true in the world we live in Christianity, because there's so many people now, you know, they're saying, well, it's not about rules, and it's not about rules. It's about a relationship with your Heavenly Father. But you found out if you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, you keep all the rules. Do you understand? You know, if you know your Father, you keep all the rules. And it's not because you have to, it's because you want to. You know, like I said, a lot of times that I did things right, not because I'm trying to please God and whatever rule that I thought was there, and not actually that my dad even put rules on me or my mom. It was that I had a relationship with them and I cared about them. Actually, I didn't want to embarrass them. You know, that was I wanted to be a good son. But you know, it's interesting, you know, how many times that it's all about rules. You're going to do this and that and everything else. You know, and you, if they would get to know their kids would do everything that they needed them to do. But they don't even know who their kids are. You know, we should always encourage our kids and believe in them. And I have a couple of quotes from a couple of people. Jim Valvano says this: "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me." You know, sometimes we just need our dad to believe in us. Just to believe us and encourage us. You know, a lot of times, you know, all we have to do is tell our kids that we believe in them. When my dad took me to school in the morning times, I know he did the same with my sister. My dad always took me to school every morning. That is, until I started driving myself. And whenever we would get there, right, last thing you say before we opened the car door was, "Daddy loves you and Jesus loves you, and you can do anything you want to do." I mean, you know, I can accomplish anything I want to do. But I always knew my dad loved me. He told me that every day, multiple times. You know, he loved me, he appreciates me. And, you know, we need to be like that. We need to be an encourager. Liza Minnelli said, "I've said it before, but it's absolutely true. My mother gave me my drive, but my father gave me my dreams. Thanks to him, I could see a future." Michael Jordan says this: "My father used to say that it's never too late to do anything you wanted to do. And he said, you never know what you can accomplish until you try." You know, sometimes fathers just need to push their kids to try. Encourage them to try. Tiger Woods said this: "My dad was my best and greatest role model. He was an amazing dad, coach, mentor, soldier, husband, and friend." You know, our dad should be our friend. Someone we can talk to. Someone we can talk about, you know, our day with. I know with my own father that whenever I would, you know, come back for, you know, from the night whenever I was a teenager, that now, you know, my parents stay up late anyway, but I always would talk to my dad, and sometimes we had, you know, we talk about, you know, what was going on in life. He used to always tell me to always wake him. If he's asleep, just wake me up to let me know you're home and whatever. And so it's interesting. At one point in time, he's like, "Craig, why do you always wake me up whenever you come home?" I said, "Because you told me to." He goes, "Well, don't do that no more. You know, I trust you and understand, you know, that, you know." But a lot of times, you know, it was, you know, at nighttime, you know, he would, you know, because, you know, he was asked me about, you know, what went on in my day, and we would talk about things. Some of us talk about some things that going through, and you know, my dad was my friend. I could go to him, you know, and I could tell my dad some things that really, you know, were, you know, things that I was doing or have done, and he wouldn't punish me. He would encourage me. You know, he's that kind of father, and I love him for it. Now, we do have to understand, as we try to have a relationship with our kids, but we need to start that out early, because the later in life we try to establish a relationship, the harder it gets. Because, you know, and then even though that we've established an early one, you know, when our kids go through their puberty stages, things change. Mark Twain had this to say about his dad. He says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. You know, and I know sometimes it can be frustrating because it seems that our kids, you know, don't care or don't want to care or whatever, and you know, they're going through a phase or whatever in life. But it's interesting how as kids get older, they realize, you know, they realize how much their dad and mom actually did know. You know, how they really weren't that stupid. And you know, in our family, we've always kind of had an open relationship. You know, been able to speak our mind. In fact, you know, one thing I always asked from my father, I said, you know, I understand, you know, whenever he would tell me that he didn't want me to do something and I wanted, you know, want to do it, I said, well, can I at least, will you listen and let me at least explain why I want to do it and then tell me no? You know, if you don't want me. And 90% of the time I was able to get to do what I wanted to do because I always came with a good reason. You know, because I knew psychology and, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, at 12, I knew a lot of psych, you know, because I watched TV, you know, learning on Sesame Street. No, I was just, you know, it was interesting because a lot of times, you know, parents, you know, are pretty closed-minded when they don't actually think about, you know, how the kid's thinking or what's going on, and they really never actually thought from that angle. Now, a lot of times they never hear that angle because they never talk to their kid about that, so they don't ever know. They just say no, and you just can't do it. And you know, but I thank God that my parents were, you know, they did let me have you know, a say so, or you know, and a lot of times I was able to change their mind, or I was able to get to do what I wanted to do, you know. Now, obviously, you know, my parents were smart enough to know sometimes that you're just not going to do it, you know. But man, you know, my parents, especially my dad, he spent so much time with me. I mean, from the time I was born, and the things that I like and the passions I have, and the passions that my kids have, is all result of spending time with my father. Many of you know that we enjoy racing and. Went to my first race, you know, basically as soon as I was able to, you know, when I was a couple months old or whatever it was, you know, whatever point you think your kid can listen to loud cars and inhale a lot of dirt, which might not be fun for a lot of you, but you know, as you know, we grew up as when we were born in Dallas, and some of my memories, even my youngest memories are going to the Devil's Bowl Speedway on Friday night, you know, and it was such a great honor, you know, going to that speedway growing up and then later on in life, but you know, the time I was able to go to watch my son race at the speedway, you know, it's just, you know, it's an incredible thing, but you know, racing's always been in our blood, in our family, and my mom feared that I would grow up to be a race car driver, so she tried to prevent me from racing that much, and so now that I paid her back by making her grandson a race car driver, because I've always encouraged all my kids, you know, to do whatever they want to do. But obviously, they're interested in things that they've been around, you know, and that's why it's so important, I believe, that we need to bring our kids around church. Bring our kids around church, because if we don't bring them around church, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart. But sometimes, you know, as he gets older, he might stray a little bit. But it's interesting, you know, how kids eventually will have, you know, what I call the prodigal son experience. Eventually, they've had enough. Their life hadn't gone the way it should, but they'll remember back to how their parents taught them. And what they were taught, and you know, understanding that story, you know, the prodigal son remembered his loving father. That his father would love him no matter what. You know, and I believe that as a father, our love needs to be unconditional to our kids. You know, because that helps our kids understand God's love, because God loves us so much. In fact, He loved us so much He sent His only Son. For God so loved the world. And that's the message that we should be preaching. God loves the world. But, you know, we have to, if you can't love your children, you can't love the world. And I see a lot of fathers and children, they don't have a relationship at all. And, you know, when they're young, the kids don't have a choice. You know, you're there, and if you start a relationship with them whenever you're young, you know, when they're older, they're going to want one with you. Now, but if you don't have one when they're young, when they're older, like, you know, you didn't have time for me when I needed you, so I don't really need you now. Now, we all know what it says in Ephesians 6, you know, the scripture, and I've read this scripture many times, and quote this many times, because this was my spanking scripture. You know, my parents were, they were people of the Bible, and they believe in not sparing the rod. And they had a really nice paddle. It was called, and it had on it the heat for the seat. And I want to tell you, I had a hot rear end. You know, sometimes I thought I got spanking every day, whether needed or not, just because it might help me. Sometimes I took spanking as a sacrifice because my sister actually deserved it, but I went ahead and took the stripe on my rear. Anyway, but my dad, you know, not every time, but a lot of times, you know, he would say before I'm going to punish you, I'm going to read the word. And I want you to read it, you know, and I don't even know why he'd open his Bible, because I didn't need the Bible to read the scripture. I remember it, I had to read it enough. It said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. So, you know, my dad would always say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I said, oh, yeah, you turn over, let's just see. Now, I didn't say that, you know, but I always thought that. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so my dad would say, I want you to live long. I'm doing this because I want you to live a long time. You know, but I would never stop there, because I would continue reading, because I want to make sure to put everything in context before I get my spanking. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I always want to make sure that was the last scripture I wanted to make sure I read before I got my whipping. I want to make sure that, you know, Dad would hear that scripture. You know, but I begin to think about, you know, Father, promote not your children to wrath, or basically don't make your kids angry. But I have seen, you know, in my lifetime, as, you know, doing youth ministry, other things, that we have a lot of angry kids because their fathers didn't spend time with them, or didn't have time for them, supposedly. And they're angry, so, you know, we, a lot of times, we're not doing our job because we're too busy doing our job. You know, and I know a lot of PKs, you know, preachers' kids that have said, you know, it's interesting because my parents have time for everyone in the church but never have time for their own kids. You know, and the same thing when it comes to a job and different things, you know, like that. It's interesting that a lot of times our kids notice, or they think, you know, they don't have time for them. And sometimes I know maybe the parent would spend time with their kid, but their kid never let them know, hey, you know, I'm hurting here. You know, because they're talking about how stressed out they are and how busy they are. And so they just don't want to put any more stress on them. And so they just get angrier and angrier. And so I think a lot of times that us as fathers, we're provoking our kids to anger. We don't even know it, but we are. Because we're not spending time with them. We're not hanging out with them. We're not getting to know them. We're, you know, and it comes back to our relationship with God. If we don't get to know God, you know, we don't see how good he really is. And if you don't really know God, if you don't know God, then a lot of times you see the God of judgment. If you know God, you see the God of love and mercy and compassion. And if you know Christ, if you see Christ in action, all you see is attributes are love and mercy and compassion on all mankind. You know, and because Christ is the one that says he without sin cast the first stone. You know, Christ was the one who says, you know what? You know, I know you're not doing things right, but I still want to spend time with you. I want to come to your house. I want to eat with you. I mean, Christ had time for everybody. But you know, it's interesting. One of the things that we sing about as a kid is Jesus loved the little children. All the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Remember that? You know, and Jesus loves little children even as they get bigger. But the fact of the matter is, wouldn't that be an example how we need to love our little children? And, you know, and care about them and have compassion on them and be with them and nurture them and help them. And, you know, I believe that we need to be a better example to them. Number three is reward. Man, there's a great reward whenever you transition from the role of being a father to being a dad. There's such a reward that you get. There's a reward that you get whenever you see attributes that you've trained your kids, you know, you see them doing. You've seen by the way they act. You know, and eventually as they get older and start having their own kids and how at least you taught them something. You know, it's just an amazing thing. An amazing reward you get by spending time with your kids. And, you know, it's just so awesome that my boys, you know, I can't talk to them, you know, on phone call or in person. And it's interesting because most of the time whenever you're talking to your kids and you tell your son, I love you, son, you know, you're usually the first one that says it. But you know what? My kids, they say they love me before I tell them. And that's an awesome thing. I mean, you know, they're always saying, you know, and they'll do it in front of their friends. You know, a lot of times, I don't want to do that in front of my friends, but they'll tell me. In fact, I've been actually shocked sometimes, talking to my middle son, Blake, on the phone. I know he's with some of his friends, you know, some of the guys, and he said, love you, Dad, you know, before he hangs up. And so they always say it before I even do. In fact, Cameron's been so trained to do it. The other day, someone put on Facebook, one of his buddies said, well, I found out Cameron loves me, you know, because he would hang up with him. He told him, love you. So maybe he just loves everybody. So that way, he's not special. You know, but it's just amazing to see our kids and see ourselves in our kids. Now, you know, my mom always would say growing up, especially, you know, whenever I was getting in trouble, says, you know what, I'm going to pray and hope that you have a son just like you. And I did. You know, and I have three boys, and they all have attributes to me. And my oldest one looks a lot like me, acts like me. In fact, it's amazing some of the things that he does. Even the way he rubs his eyes, the same way I rub my eye, which is a really weird thing that it's just amazing, you know, how much he imitates me, not on purpose, you know, but man, our kids are a reflection of us. You know, when Jesus said, you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, you understand, you know, when you've seen your kids, you've seen you. And, you know, our kids are a reflection of who we are and what we do and how we've raised them. You know, and it's such a reward that we get whenever we've you know, understand, our kids are not going to be perfect. And if they tell you are, they're probably lying. You know, they're not going to be perfect, but it's such an incredible reward to see our kids, you know, mature in life and to see them, you know, doing things that we've trained them to do and even things that we don't have to tell them, they just do it anyway. You know, and you know, God's so good. You know, and I understand we are always are not the best example of a father. And even whenever you're a good father, we do make mistakes. And one thing I do appreciate about my father is that whenever he would do something, you know, and maybe say something or do something that he probably shouldn't do or treat, you know, the way he treated me or whatever, he would always come back and apologize. Because I've seen so many parents that never apologize. And they never can do anything wrong. And my dad would say, Craig, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thrown that basketball at you. I'm actually relating one experience where my dad clobbered me with a basketball. It wasn't like a dodgeball. It was a basketball. I was only two. I mean, No, I was a little older than that, And I wasn't doing anything. It wasn't like I just fouled him real hard or something like that. I could appreciate him throwing the basketball at that point in time, and I'd actually be proud of it. But just because I didn't want to play. I mean, it was... So he got mad. It was really because it was a bunch of adults in the game, and I was only about 10, and I realized that, basketball's never my best sport anyway, and so I just didn't want to play basketball. So for whatever reason, he threw the basketball at me. So it's okay. It's better than the baseball bat that he threw it at him. Not just me, the whole team one time. We're in a dugout. He struck out. And so the dugout didn't have a top on it. He threw the baseball bat in the dugout over the top of the roof, and we all just went for cover. So, praise God. Actually, one thing, we talk about being a doer of the word. One time my dad actually threw the Bible at me too. And one of my friends was there, and he laughed. Afterwards, he goes, well, that's one way to use the word. But, I do want to say that I did have and still do have a little cantankerous spirit in my own self, and sometimes need to shut up and shouldn't say some things that I do say. but it doesn't say, sons, do not provoke your father to wrath. But there is a great reward in seeing our kids grow up, as they grow up. And, although my kids aren't fully raised, it's just rewarding to see as they get older to see attributes that myself and their mom has placed in their life and to see them doing what they want to do. As a parent, especially as a father, we should have these three R's operating in our life: responsibility, relationship, and reward. And I tell you what, I mean, it's the best feeling. And like I said, God wants the same thing. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. He wants you to get to know Him. He wants to spend time with Him. And there's such a reward for doing that. Because our big reward is, if we know God, then we know that we can get through anything. We know that He can help us. He does help us. He's ready, willing, and able to help us at all times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for every person here today, especially the fathers here. And Father God, we just thank You for these men. We thank You, Father, for their lives. We thank You, Father, for what they mean to this church. And Father God, we just thank You for helping them become the father that they need to be. And for those that are out there, that the young men that are not married or don't have kids, Father God, we just thank You for training them and helping them, through watching others, how to be a good father to their kids. Father, we just thank You for every person that's here. We thank You for the gifts of God that they all possess. But Father God, we thank You if there is anyone here that's not a child of God, that doesn't know Your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming to the realization of Jesus Christ becoming their Savior. Or maybe they're here today and they knew God, they walked with God at one point in time, but they've kind of turned their back, they've went their own way. But today they want to come and rededicate their life to Him. We thank You for it right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never been saved, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I knew God, but man, I've turned my back. I've went away. I want to come home today. I want to rededicate my life. I haven't been the father that I need to be to my kids. And I want to rededicate my life to be the man of God that I should be. So if that's you across the auditorium, with heads bowed and eyes closed, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you've never been saved, you want to be saved. Or you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord today, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I'm looking across the auditorium. Amen. Praise God. I don't see any hands. Father God, if anyone is here, we thank you right now. Anyone's here that's not saved, we thank you for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, for helping them. And we thank you, Father, they won't be able to do anything until they come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Before we go, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, you know, if your dad, you know, is still alive, I encourage you to call him, you know, send him a text, do something, you know. And if your father is not still alive, I want to encourage you to just remember the good times. Even if there were a lot of bad times in your, you know, remember the good times. Remember that, you know, the good things that he taught you. You know, even if it's the only thing he's ever taught you was what not to do, then, you know, remember that. You know, but I believe that we should be more appreciative of our fathers, you know, and because a lot of times that we don't understand that they might not always be there, always around. You know, we kind of think, well, they're always going to be there or whatever, but, you know, it's... You know, they're not. I mean, you know, I'm at an age where a lot of my friends my own age, I mean, you know, they're losing their dads. You know, their dads are passing away, and I've lost both my grandfathers, and you know, sometimes, you know, you never can make up for lost time. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to grow up to regret, man, I wish I could have spent more time with my dad when he was around, you know, So always, you know, sometimes when we go home for Christmas or for holiday or whatever, sometimes I know it's pretty stressful being around our family, but think about that. I mean, they're, you know, you're a reflection of them anyway. If it's stressful, it's because maybe you're stressing them out. But the fact of the matter is we should appreciate our family more, spend time with our family, because, one of these days you're going to wish you could spend more time with them. Amen. We have a few prayer requests and from people that are on the internet. Tracy from California said they need healing in the nerves of the head and the neck. Another viewer says prayer for salvation for husband and brother. Just reach your hand out toward the camera, TV screen. Father God, we just thank you right now for Tracy from California. We thank you, Father, for her life. And we thank you, Father, for ministering to her neck and to her back right now. We thank you for the healing power of God flowing into her. We thank you, Father, for touching her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And Father God, we thank you for this husband, Father. We thank you, Father, that we thank you for sending laborers across his path at all times. We thank you, Father, that he'll come into to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing in our midst today. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up. Amen. Before we go, if you're a first-time visitor, you're here for the very first time, you know, we have a special gift for you. The connection team is in the aisle right now. They want to take you to a special place and want to give you a special gift. And so just go with them right now. Amen. There were 580 people watching us online today. Just so incredible. That was live. Amen. Online. That means you can add 580 people more than were here. And usually there might be one or more than one watching us. And that's only on the computer, not on our phone. Amen. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. I'm not sure who's ministering tonight, but it'll be good. Come out tonight, 6 p.m. I'll be in Oklahoma City tonight at Rainbow Church, Oklahoma City, 6 p.m. there. God bless you guys. Turn around, shake hands with one another. The pastoral staff, go head on to the doors.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.